jasmine, oolong, green, and white. Long ago, these four teas were skillfully brewed at the Blissful Brew. Then, everything changed when the shop's popularity threatened its existence. All Mr. Ocaron, the shop's owner and tea master, could do was to recruit four teenage orphans to learn his trade and staff his shop. A year has passed since the orphans were hired, and although their skills have progressed, they still have a lot to learn before they can brew anything. But I believe that they have the potential to make the Blissful Brew the greatest tea shop in the world.
Last time on Benders and Brews, an Avatar Legends podcast.
We open on a scene as Wang Long trails behind two guards with their arms around Brock Lee's shoulders, dragging him. A puff of the same pink misty smoke greets Brock, but as soon as he smells it, he starts to feel a little bit lethargic, a little bit slower.
This is a Yu Dao prison facility.
Anyone know how to juggle?
Mika, you approach, and there are two guards standing by the door. They're wearing these very strange, very tight masks that go all the way around their face.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
You have a guy named Brock? Can I, say hi to him?
Are you his wife or something?
Yeah.
Bro, Mika, what's up, dude?
So good to see you.
So you push a little bit harder with your bending in order to really freeze this up to really break into this lock. So now you know that there's a guard across the way.
Hey! Wait! I'm gonna do the bend and snap.
Stay away from my wife!
He doesn't have time to react.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden, boom! Brock just tackles this guy
into
the
ground. Wall. You should have stole that guard's clothes.
And you give Brock the clothes. Brock, you've got your outfit on. He goes back into town. You guys go away from town, kind of around. Whatever the case, Brock doubles back and then meets with you guys at the start of the tributary. You guys spend the rest of the day following the tributary, and before you stands a mountain. Amidst the mountain is what looks like an abandoned Air Nation temple. All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benders and Brews, episode 3. Well, specifically, another episode, that episode being episode 3. Just to clarify there, we're not doing another episode 3. We haven't done episode 3 yet. Anyways, all of that to
well,
say,
we do have
back.
Two other episode 3s, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We do, I suppose. That's right. Because we're on season 3, which means we had a season, episode 3, season 2, and an episode 3, season 1.
Which means if you've not watched, heard any of the episodes, what the heck are you doing here?
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Michaela, for reminding them to go check out the rest of the show if you haven't already. But I'm going to assume that for the most part, you're here because you've listened up until this point and you are excited to hear what's going to happen next. We just got Brock out of prison, a Fire Nation prison where he was being held that was filled with a gas that would kind of more or less nullify the potential for people to break out. But they apparently did not expect the idea of a potential visitor to the prison helping to break a prisoner out. And that's exactly what happened. And now the four of you, who I will have introduced here in a moment, are standing at the foot of a abandoned Air Nation temple. So before we go any further, that's a little recap there. But before we go any further, let's talk about your characters. So that way everybody remembers who you are and what you sound like. I'm going to go the opposite direction as I went last time. So starting to my left, Cameron, who are you and what's an interesting fact about your character?
I'm Cameron. I play Bildor. Fun fact about Bildor is when he was younger, when he was in school training with his bow staff, they were doing an interesting training regiment where it was art day, and they were putting our bow staffs in paint. And then they were like practicing bow staff moves. And then they're like, we're going to paint a portrait where you like stick your two ends of your bow staff.
Is this why you love to paint so much?
What?
Is this why you love to paint so much?
No, that was because of my mother. Anyways, he would do painting with his bow staff. And one day he did the color purple and everything went horribly wrong. And purple was everywhere. It should not have been everywhere, and it got in spots it should not have been. Bill was finding purple many days later in the shower, That's all I will.
Was he harshly scolded for it by the teacher?
Very much so. It was referred to as the Purple Incident.
Purple Incident.
Okay. Whenever anyone mentioned the Purple Incident, they everyone would look at Bill.
Yeah.
And he would turn bright
purple.
Well, not really. You can't even purple.
Say, right, stop. Right, red, stopped red, breathing. Bright purple and embarrassment. No, yes. He would turn red in embarrassment. But yes, the Purple Incident.
So now, they not use purple paint anymore?
Now because that Bill strongly dislikes the color purple.
Oh, okay. All right. Good to know. He has an aversion to purple.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. The GM will put all sorts of purple things into the game now. No. Awesome. So next up, we got Connor. Connor, who are you playing? What's the deal with who you're playing?
I am Connor, and I'm playing Brock Lee, the 17-year-old earthbender. Something about him that you may not know is at times, if he just needs to chill to himself, he can be standing on like a stone floor, like just on outside on the gravel. He can sort of make his own stone elevator, just kind of slowly lower himself down below the ground. And he could seal the top if he really wanted to, but then it's dark and, you know.
And then you run out of oxygen.
He might fall asleep.
He might fall asleep, and then you run out of oxygen. You know how it is.
Isn't that a Minecraft thing? Like you just dig the hole, and then you fill it up over the top. And
that's how Brock sleeps is the Minecraft method.
Gotcha.
If he's out in the wild, he's
right. Said. It's safer that way.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You don't get killed by zombies.
That's right.
That was his
what? Creepers.
That was one of his facts in season one.
Oh. So this is a slight differentiation from that. See, this is why Dave is like our resident, what do you call that? Like knowledge
scribe.
Keeper.
Historian.
Oh, you are the he who knows 10,000 things.
Now, I did start making a list of all our previous facts so I wouldn't repeat them, which is funny because I might repeat one just
right.
Now because I haven't finished.
Fair enough. Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, Michaela. Who are you playing and what's up with them?
I play Mika. Sometimes she's depressing, sometimes she's hilarious.
Sometimes she's really flirty with the guards.
She is what she needs to be, you know?
That's right. She's very adept at her versatile skill set.
Yeah, I don't know. Yep. Mm-hmm. She has very vivid dreams.
Oh.
And they're very cool. Usually there's a good plot storyline. She wakes up thinking, hey, I should write this down. This is going to be a dope story. And she immediately forgets things as she's trying to write them down. So.
Yeah, I know what that's like. And then you never do get to write them down because you always forget by the time that you wake up.
Usually I'll just remember who's in my dream and maybe some of the setting and that's about it.
Right.
Just little bits and pieces and it's not really useful.
It's not like Is it a situation? She hasn't like reached that point where she like has control of the dream. She just experiences.
She usually can tell when she's dreaming.
Okay,
but she can't do anything about the dream.
Gotcha. Gosh, that's a frustrating spot to be in.
Does she think the dreams are her ancestors trying to communicate to her?
Yeah.
So Southern Water Tribe thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them she thinks it's her enemies trying to communicate with her. Whoa. But, you know, that's a whole nother thing.
That sounds intense. Awesome. All right. Sounds good. Jump in finally to Dave. Dave, who are you playing and what's his deal?
Guohan is who I'm playing, the earthbender. Guo also has a dream. But his dream is to hopefully one day expand the food menu portion of the Blissful Brew.
Oh.
Or if that doesn't work out, to open a like a sister restaurant, maybe like right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like different hours or something. Or just repurpose, you know, have his own food he serves in the Blissful Brew.
Yeah.
Not during their busy times.
Oh, okay. I don't see why not. And unbeknownst to Guo, but Bill has been taking some cooking lessons. I feel like there's a solid potential for that.
Might be able to help as one of the. He could probably be the sous chef now.
Yeah. Well, and to top it off, like I mean, tea, you drink that at any point. It's not like a breakfast thing necessarily. I know in today's society, you get a tea shop. It's probably pretty popular during like more earlier hours of the day, kind of like coffee shops. But in reality, tea can be drank whenever. And then if you put food, that means you could have food all day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to be breakfast food. So that's cool. I think that'd be great.
Awesome. Well, that's all of our characters. So let's jump on into the story and watch them do their thing with another episode of Benders.
Don't you mean listen?
Yes, listen. So, all right, as I mentioned before, you guys find yourselves looking up at this sort of small mountain space, and amidst the sort of on the mountain, in the mountain, whatever you want to call it, is an abandoned air temple. You know it's abandoned, partially because you can see that, you know, some of the paint and so on and so forth is kind of worn down. There might even be like a collapsed building, like a small shed, or maybe even a little hut or something is kind of fallen into disrepair. And then to top it off, you don't see air nomads that are just flying about. Whether or not any of you have experienced an air nomad temple or anything like that before, kind of just depends. But whatever the case, you don't see any currently. So you're kind of alluded to the idea that nobody lives here, or at least not many. You do know that Ocaron in his note had mentioned a Guru Tapik, which was an old friend of his, or maybe he had just mentioned it was an old friend of his, and you'll find out that his name, but whatever the case, and that's who you're supposed to meet here. So you guys kind of follow, there's like a little bit of a trail, and you head up the mountain, and sure enough, as you reach the top, standing right on the outside of kind of the main entrance of the temple, which is sort of the centerpiece of this entire little air village, is an old man. He's balding. He's got the sort of traditional air arrows on his head and the rest of his
body. Most air people bald?
Yeah.
How's he balding?
Did I say balding?
I thought you said balding.
I mean, balding is
that's unique.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a little bit of hair coming out the side. You know, he's kind of got like
the markings of a master.
Yes. Yes, that too. Yeah, he has the air markings in very like, you know, simple traditional air nomad robes, you know, the orange robes and so on and so forth. And he just smiles. He's got a bit of facial hair, so he's not balding on his face, but he is on his head. And he sees you all and he says,
"Well, hello. I've been expecting you. My name is Guru Tapik. You must be Ocaron's friends."
How could you tell? Do we look like orphans?
Oof. Maybe a little bit, but not in a bad way by any means.
Well, how do you know it's us and not some, like, other random children running around?
I'll give you two reasons that make me believe you're the people I've been waiting for. One, this temple is fairly isolated from any nearby cities. Most kids don't come around here. And two, those that do seem to believe this place is haunted and are fairly adamant about going around rather than approaching the front gate.
Is it haunted?
Is it?
No! The temple is not actually haunted.
Kind of makes it seem a little more lame.
Well, I hate to disappoint. How exactly would you define haunted?
Are there spirits?
Well, we do have those, so I guess it is haunted.
Are they vengeful spirits?
No, not vengeful, just hungry.
Hungry for souls?
Oh, no. The spirit that resides here has no interest in eating your soul. The flesh on your bones will do just fine.
Okay.
But we'll get to that in due time.
I don't know if I want to get to that.
It's starting to kind of get dark outside, and he says,
"But it seems that it is getting rather late. And I'm sure you're all quite weary from your travels. Please, make yourselves at home. There are many rooms available since no one else resides at the temple except for myself. Feel free to sleep anywhere you'd like. Once the sun rises, we can begin your journey into the temple and retrieve what Ocaron left behind."
What about the flesh-eating?
How am I supposed to trust this guy? My parents told me not to go down strange dark tunnels with strangers.
Well, your parents certainly taught you well. But I assure you, you won't be entering any dark tunnels tonight. So if you're willing to trust a stranger through the night, outside of the dark tunnels. Maybe in the morning we can reassess the idea of traveling with a stranger into a dark tunnel, if that works for you.
Well, I would hope that if we spend the whole night, you might not be a stranger.
Of course, I completely understand. I apologize. You see, I've been stuck up here by myself on this mountain for quite some time now. Only interaction I get day to day is entirely within my own head.
That's a little depressing.
Well, I like to think that I make pretty good company.
He leads you not even into the temple. There's just, like I said, I mean, there's just random houses and huts. And I mean, you really just have your pick. He kind of just points out some of them. And, you know, the beds are actually pretty well kept. It looks like he was ready for you guys. He knew you guys were coming. As you remember from some of the other people that you've talked to that Mr. Ogron sent you to meet with or whatever the case, you know, usually there was a letter. Like when you guys were in Yu Dao and you met with Mayu Yinyu, he kind of had an idea that you guys might be coming. He didn't know about Okoron's death, obviously, until you told him. But he had an idea that you guys were coming because Okoron had sent him a letter. You wonder if the same thing might be the case for Guru Tupik. Because, again, there's like beds that are made and they've got clean linens and things like that on them. Ready for you. So you guys kind of like just get yourselves situated in each one of the rooms. And then you start to smell something really nice. And you come out and you find Guru Tupik is, he's got a big old pot and he's stirring something inside the pot. And he says,
I see you must have caught whiff of my cooking. I must apologize beforehand. I've only been cooking for one for quite some time. So I hope my food is adequate to your taste.
I don't think I want your cooking.
Oh, well, I simply wanted to whip up a nutritious dish to help us with the trials of tomorrow.
Well, you know, with the whole stranger thing and the flesh-eating spirit. I'll have her portion.
Certainly. There's plenty to go around.
Oh, wait.
He's a pretty known, well-known food critic.
Wow, how do you know he's not
going
to, like, knock you out and feed your flesh to the spirit in the basement of this mountain?
Well, if it makes you feel safer, I'm more than happy to take the first bite to show you it's safe.
Are you going to have a bite from each of
us? I'm already on my second bowl.
Bro.
It's quite good.
You already started eating it?
All
right, Oh, okay. All right, yeah. So it's he's doing like a seaweed stew.
I woke up early.
So it's very simple, but it's warm and refreshing for those that are eating it. It's warm and refreshing.
Brock, how many bowls down are you?
Like three.
Yeah, I knew it.
He ate too much at the prison.
Yeah.
It's starting to like kind of kick in now. I mean, it's totally up to you if you eat. As the GM, I don't really care either way. You do you. Up to you. But whatever the case, it's like a seaweed stew. Very simple. Nothing like incredible. He maybe throws in some fancy spices or something. Kind of gives it some life. But there's no meat involved because many of the air nomads are typically vegetarian.
Yeah, because we're the flesh for the monster.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I didn't think about that. I mean, did you guys, you know, he just kind of sits there and he eats. And he's like,
Delicious. So how did you come to meet Okoron?
Do you actually want to hear each of our stories? Because they're all different.
Listen to the prequels.
You should listen to Benders and Brews.
If you are asking the same question as Guru Tupik and want to know how they all met Mr. Okoron, then go listen to the prequel episodes we release between seasons 1 and 2. They are fantastic. I'm very proud of them. But whatever the case, I mean, you guys can just say that you give him an overview.
Pirate ship.
Oh, pirates, you say?
Save me from a carnival.
And a carnival? Did he save you from the big wheel that they strap you to and throw knives at you?
I did have to do that a few times. But the knife thrower was a good guy. I trusted him. But the owner was terrible. He was mean.
He saved me from people who wanted a pound of my flesh.
Well, a flesh-eating people, you say? That certainly sounds traumatizing. I could see why you're so afraid of the spirit I mentioned earlier. What about you, big fella?
I kind of just showed up at his tea shop like a stray cat one night, and he just kind of took me in.
You don't say. Well, if there was one thing I knew about Okoron, was that he was a kind spirit who was always willing to help those in need.
He does bring off those vibes.
So how did you know Mr. Okoron?
Well, now that's quite a story, actually. Do you want to hear the long version or the short version?
Well, probably the short.
Do we
gotta
have
get to sleep. That's at pretty good. Point.
There's a pretty decent amount of stuff. I mean, you need like a whole like big pot, like you see in like cartoons,
like
and
a
stuff.
Cauldron.
Yeah, like almost like cauldrons worth. Maybe like a small cauldron, not like a full size.
Like hocus pocus yeah. cauldron.
Let's go long version. We got some stew to eat.
Well then, let me start from the beginning. When I was but a young airbending boy, way back during the early days of Avatar Roku, those of us within the Fire Nation felt that we had reached a certain level of spiritual awakening, that we should share this power with the rest of the world. At that time, we had a close bond with the leaders of the Fire Nation, and they were willing to help build and develop what would become known as the Fire and Air Nation Center of Learning. It was an exciting time, to say the least. And I was among the many who moved here to help in the construction of this learning center. Unfortunately, this endeavor faced opposition in the form of a group of airbenders who referred to themselves as the Guiding Wind. They believed that by partnering with the Fire Nation representatives and nobles, the teaching of the Air Nation would be demoralized, corrupted by those who would have ulterior motives and agendas. They did everything they could to terrorize and slow the construction process. It got so bad that Fire Lord Shozin sent military force to fight against a group of terrorists to stop them from harassing the facility. But the constant battling kept any progress from being made. Till eventually, the Air Nation decided to concede the project altogether. The Fire Nation pulled their military force, and once the Guiding Wind caught word that they had given up, they too soon left. Slowly over time, the air nomads that had come to this temple started heading back to whichever corners they had come from, till only I was left here alone to watch over all we had tried to build. Now it's just me here on Mount Kenkyo, all alone. Oh well, I was alone, until Okoran came to this mountain. He must have saw it from a distance while traveling from Yudao. He must have stopped to take refuge and rest, not knowing that I was living here. We met, chatted for some time late into the night. He told me he had just come from the Fire Nation, where he had a bit of negative relationship with a woman there. If I remember, the two of them had attempted to create a tea shop together. Something went wrong. I cannot remember what he said her name was.
Madame Yang?
Yes, Madame Yang. That sounds right. Anyway, he decided to stay here on the mountain with me for a few days, and we traded tea-making tricks. As short of a time as it was, I believe that we came to be good friends. When he finally had to leave, he told me to visit him in the city of Gaoling, where he was planning to start a tea shop. Encouraged me to visit should I ever be traveling through. We wrote letters back and forth between each other. But then a week or so ago, I received what would be his final letter. He mentioned that he had met some amazing kids during his journey, that he had taken in, that he had been helping them, and that they had been helping him with his tea shop. He said that business had been great. Things were going well, but then started mentioning he was fearful that something might happen to him. And if it did, he asked me if I would be kind enough to help the children who he would send here, to direct them to the clue he had left for all of you. That same night, I had a vision. I found myself floating amidst a beautiful void, shimmering with strange glowing orbs, lights faintly blinking amidst the darkness. I looked behind me and saw myself. I was attached to some sort of tether, a rope-like leash, that seemed to drift off deep into the abyss. Then I saw him, Okoran. He was drifting amidst the void with me, Vasai lifted my astral hand to wave at him. I watched as his leash seemed to split from itself, and my friend began to fade. His mortal coil was severed. He faded as his life force dissolved. It was after I awoke from this vision that I knew that my friend was gone. So I went about following through with what Okoran's letter had said, preparing things for your arrival. And that brings us to this very moment here.
Wow.
So what exactly do you want to do with us while we're here? What are we doing here?
Well, as the letter instructed, Okoran insisted that this whole ordeal was supposed to be an opportunity for the group of you to learn to grow by working together. So he had made use of some of the temple's inner features to create a series of 5 trials for you to pass.
He knew we'd be on a time crunch and he's having us do these trials.
Brock, he didn't know we were going to be on a time crunch.
Oh.
He didn't know he was going to die.
Well, he
did. See, sir, he was stabbed in the back.
Oh my. Such a cowardly way to take someone's life.
Yeah.
Do you know who it was who killed him?
I don't know, some wild coyote boars or something?
But we took care of them. I tell you what.
I see.
The reason we're on a time crunch is we need to procure, I think that's the right word, procure the will to keep ownership of the tea shop because the Madam Yang, as was mentioned before in your story, she wants to buy it and then turn it into her own tea shop.
So what are these trials?
Well, it would take away from a lot of the fun. If I told you what they were going to be right now, all I'm allowed to say is that I promise I will be with every step of the way through the trials. Although Okoran's letter insisted that I not offer any help with completing or overcoming them.
Well, that might be hard to do with all this talk of flesh-eating spirits, but I'll see what I can do.
And he takes the last couple bites of his stew, and then he heads off into the air temple.
Then I will see you all in the morning.
I don't know what's happening tonight, but I'm asleep with my back against the wall.
I'm asleep underground.
My pup on the dog.
Sleep underground.
With my pup on my lap, not on the dog.
Oh, yes, the fox dog, which definitely exists.
Keeping watch.
Yeah, I'm no chump. I'm sleeping up here where the spirits can't get me. And Guo sets his hammock up. Like, so he uses some earthbending to make some rock spurs and ties it to that up in the ceiling.
Brock just sleeps underground.
Bill grabs his bow staff, rests up in his cot, and he just holds the bow staff all night long.
Cuddles with his bow staff.
That's right.
So spoons it. Not one of us trusts this guy. It's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
As you guys are sleeping, you don't hear, but he slowly, silently approaches you. And suddenly you're jolted awake as a pie is splatted in your face. No, I'm totally kidding. You guys wake up the next morning and you're fine.
Hey everyone, Skylar here. Are you a fan of Session Zero Heroes and the shows we produce, or the characters involved? Then you should check out our epic merch we have available online. From shirts to stickers and everything in between, we worked hard on creating a variety of designs and made sure to get your favorite characters on those products as well. Whether you're looking for Brock Lee on a hoodie to wear to the gym with you, or maybe Fizzlefinger's tote bag to stuff your ill-gotten gains in, we've got you covered. Just head over to our website at sessionzeroheroes.com and click on our merch tab to see all the amazing products and designs that you can get. Now back to the show.
Nothing happened in the night. Ooh, everything phew. Is how it was when you wake up in the morning, you step outside, you feel refreshed. If you have any exhaustion, any fatigue, that would have counted towards, I think, subtracting 3 fatigue, if I remember correctly.
Hooray. Well, good thing I only have 1.
Well, there you now you got none. Or, well, you're full, I guess. And yeah, you're feeling good. Guru Tapik, he meets you at the front door of the temple, and he says,
good morning, everyone. I hope you all slept well last night. No time to dawdle and dilly-dally. Let's get straight to the trials.
And just to clarify for those listening and for you guys here, so you are at the beginning of the fourth day of your seven-day time limit. So you are officially past the halfway point.
Are we halfway through our trials?
I think you're technically a little further than halfway if you think about it.
Okay, well then we're making good time.
Yeah, or probably. You're either at halfway. Yeah, you're a little bit past the halfway.
It's all right. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
Just give me like Majora's Mask flashbacks.
I know you all said you're on a time crunch, so the sooner we get these done, the sooner you can move on to the next stage of your journey.
Well, what do we need?
Well, whatever you've got, I suppose.
Then I guess we're ready.
All right. Do you have any cool hats?
I do not. We do not really wear hats in the Air Nation.
What if that's one of the trials?
Well, then I hope you brought one.
Ooh. Wow. I had one, but I lost
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right. You did the captain's hat.
Oh, shoot. We might need that.
You know, a wise air monk once told me that some things that are lost are only as far as where you last saw them.
Are you gonna speak in riddles this whole time?
All right, let's
go. All right, so there's a steep walk down to the first trial as you guys follow this. It's well carved out in the walls of this cave, so it doesn't even feel like you're really walking through a mountain or walking through a cave. It feels like you're just kind of walking down a slow declining passageway. Whatever the case, the first trial sits inside a cavern room above a deposit of lava that flows beneath the rocks. But it leaves the stones on the pathway across hot to the touch. On either side of the narrow passage, which spans 100 feet, is a narrow ledge and a stone wall with many holes in it. As you watch, you can see puffs of hot air randomly blast through the various holes that are in this wall. Now, in theory, you could safely walk across along the rock ledge and not burn your feet on the hot floor below, but you would have to carefully do so without being blasted by the bursts of hot air that are coming through these holes in the wall. If you've seen
Wipeout.
Thank you. If you've seen Wipeout, you kind of know what I'm talking about here. And Guru Tapik, he kind of gestures across the pathway and he says,
"Now, an airbender would have an easy time getting through this little obstacle here. We can sense the movement of the air. We'd easily be able to quickly dodge out of the way of the puffs of hot breeze. That, or we just use an air glider to fly to the other end."
Aren't all the elements connected in some way or one another?
Ah, yes. You are certainly correct. Although, unfortunately for us, one cannot wield the powers afforded by all of the elements. Unless, of course, you are the Avatar.
But, you know, water and air, they move similarly. Use my interpretive water dance skills and we'll be good.
You could just bend some water over the lava, right? Get some obsidian.
Where am I going to find enough water?
It's lava?
It's not. So the lava runs underneath the rocks. Oh, so it leaves the rocks hot. Yeah. Because you could just straight walk across there, but there's a raised section that would be not hot.
Bill is staring at Brock. And he goes, "Doesn't this look familiar, Brock?"
Yeah.
So what did we learn last time, Brock?
Don't run right over the hot rocks.
That's correct. They may be rocks, right, but they're still hot.
I love the plugs we get to make throughout. If you don't know what we're talking about, check out the Bill and Brock one shot.
Also, fun fact, Brock, and he's talking to, what's his name?
Guru Tepi.
Brock and I actually
I thought
have
his name was Uru.
Guru. Hey, well, Guru. Brock and I actually have air glided.
Have you now?
Oh,
we really have, yeah.
Yeah, he was a lot better than I was at it. I almost died.
Well, looks like we've got a young airbender in the making, I see. Hailing from the Earth Kingdom, no less. Talk about opposites attracting.
I'm a stick bender.
You could say
I'm the next Avatar. I won't say it, but you can say it.
I won't say it either after how I saw you handle those hot rocks in the cave that day.
Okay.
He stepped... Guy, get this, guys. And he's looking at Guo and Mika. He goes, get this. The guy said, I could get across this room and it's just a bunch of hot rocks. And he proceeded to step on the very first one. And then he was hurt for the rest of the day. Do you guys remember when we got back and he had that wrapping around his foot?
Yeah, I'm so glad I don't actually have a child with this guy.
That's true. You do not.
Anyways, that wrapping on his foot was because he stepped on hot rocks after I flat out told him, don't step on the hot rocks.
I remember that. Yeah, I had to run all the orders because he was like, oh, my foot. Oh, I can't.
I'm just the dishwasher. Yeah, that's part of your job.
Well, he runs the orders out to us and then we take it from there, but he made Guo do extra, and he sat in a chair the whole day. I bet you didn't like that.
I mean, you can say stand washing dishes. You can
hear him in the back. He says his air temple is haunted. Apparently, people think that. Well, our tea shop sounded haunted hearing Brock's moans from the kitchen.
It was hot, all right.
Do you even remember how we got past that?
I remember we blew up some guy's like secret lab.
Okay, that was at the very end of our adventure.
Brock has a very short.
You want to spoiler? No, Bill. It's the solstice. What was it?
Yeah,
it's like Spirit Day.
Spirit Day.
We were about to turn him into a spirit.
It was like Friendship Day, and we decided to make friends instead of dead people.
So what is stopping me from just earth bending a wall to block the air streams? All right, so I will step on a not hot rock,
okay,
and use that to jaw. Well, actually.
Yeah, do a rely on your skills and training. I just want to see like how thick and strong that this wall is to hold up against.
But Focus,
I believe, yes.
And it shouldn't roll with force, I wouldn't imagine.
I feel like this is a dumb idea.
Well, you're a dumb idea.
It's only if you want to roll.
Yeah, you can choose to roll with force. But if you do, your balance is going to shift and it's going to put you a little bit closer towards falling off the edge. So,
well...
Can I just like push him over so to prevent him from doing this?
Bro, I rolled a 5. I could roll with force and make it a 7. I'll keep it at 5.
Okay, so you stomp the ground. A wall comes up, but the hot air bursts that are coming through manage to kind of punch through this wall until it just kind of crumbles. It was a very thin wall. So you're kind of left with not much there. Mm. It didn't really do too much.
What else is around us? Like what's... Just rocks, lava?
Yes. Pretty well, the lava is there's kind of like a crack that lets the lava be seen, but and it gives kind of a glow into the room, but you would have to reach into this crack quite a ways in order to actually touch lava. Otherwise the lava is just heating.
Well, I can't lava bend anyway, so
how far across is it?
Can Guao just like build a bridge?
You could try.
You know, by the time the rock heats, maybe we can just keep running.
Right. Well, so the ledge that's safe to walk on is just a little bit above the ground anyways. It's just not immediately touching where the lava is kind of heating. So, yeah, you could definitely either expand this into a little bit of a wider bridge because it's kind of a bridge in and of itself. It's just a matter of those air puffs that would hit you and they're hot. So
they go all the way across. Like you couldn't just go run down the middle and like not get it.
Well, there's hot.
Could you army crawl underneath the air puffs on the bridge that they're making?
You could try if you're flat enough.
I'm very little.
All right. If you want to try.
Okay.
All right.
Somebody build a bridge.
I'll.
Or can well, the bridge that's build, existence.
You, so the bridge is the proverbial bridge. There's sort of like a raised ledge, and that's right next to the wall that has the air puffs.
I don't have to hop from one thing to another. It's just solid all the way across.
No, it's just one straight one, but it's kind of narrow, like one person at a time. And of course you have the air puffs that are slamming into you from the side. But if you extended it, you might be able to make it across.
I'm just going to army crawl.
With where it's at right now?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, go for it. I guess just another rely on your skills and training. Or you could, actually no, push your luck. Either one. I'll let you choose. I don't know how much
I mean, push my luck. I like what it adds to my roll better. Sure. However, I don't know. I feel like living out in the wilderness, it'd be more apt to.
If you feel like it's more relevant to the your character, then
would I add my plus one of survival since I'm farther on the track?
You can choose to do survival instead. It'll move your balance more towards survival. But you can definitely do that. And then,
well, I mean, I am trying to move across the bridge without my friends. So
normally it would be rely on your skills and training. But if you, again, if you want to choose to make it survival, you can do so.
Okay.
Well, do that. Do survival then.
So I don't have to roll? I do
have
to
roll. No, you do roll, but you just add your survival bonus.
Well, I got a 4.
Total?
No. On my track, I'm at a plus 1.
Okay. So then you'd have 5.
And it's... Do I add anything else to it?
Okay, so you'll take 1 fatigue, but yeah, that's all you add is just the plus 1.
Well, then it would be
so
5.
Be a 5. Yeah. Okay.
So nothing.
So you go to start doing the army crawl, and then you get a puff of air that shoots out right in front of your face, and you realize that there are also some low hanging holes in this wall that would kind of keep you from being able to army crawl through, and so you kind of turn back.
Lame.
Sorry.
I don't think you really are, but that's okay.
I don't know.
Well, Bill, Guo, you guys got any ideas?
I'm going to try to extend that bridge.
Okay. Yeah. Man, I almost wonder if it'd be push your luck, because this is a lot more bending than I feel like Guo is usually used to.
Yep.
Bender.
All right.
I got this.
He's got this.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got it.
13.
All right.
Now, well, with push your luck.
Some of those good rolls.
On a 10 plus. My boldness pays off, despite the cost, though, it says.
So yes.
That's what I don't get.
I think that's just saying, like, you took a risk and it paid off, basically. And you get another opportunity that falls in your lap. I would say the opportunity is that you grab onto the edge of this and you basically pull the ground out from its connection to the wall. Mm. So you're basically taking the bridge, which is right up against the wall, and you're pulling it away from the wall so that there's no way the puffs of air don't even reach it. And you extend it ever so slightly to a point where everybody could cross.
Whew. All right, guys, I think I did it.
Nice.
Let's cross.
Oh, it's that simple. Huh?
And as you guys make your way,
Brock, that's all you had to do last time.
As you guys make your way across, like Guru Tapik just kind of walks along with you. He's like,
"Very well done, Go. You know, I was planning on showing off a bit, letting you all see what it looks like when an airbender walks the path. You see, you have to sense the air puffs. You dodge, creating a sort of intricate dance. It's quite beautiful.
Don't you have like some meditation technique to walk on the hot rocks without getting burnt?
Ah, you must be thinking of the quick step technique developed by Master Bin Chang. Yes, it is possible for one to meditate and spread the heated sensation across your body rather than having to focus it all on the soles on your feet. Unfortunately, I've yet to master this technique. Perhaps someday I could pull off such a feat."
You guys move into the next room. There's sort of just a doorway at the end of this bridge. And so you guys walk through the doorway and you move into the next room. And as you do, the warmth from before, which was a very dry heat, is quickly replaced by a very humid heat. And you guys find yourselves in a sauna-like cave. And it's hot with steam in here, and features what seems to be a massive fuzzy balloon that's just stuffed in the doorway that would lead into the next room. And he says,
"A particularly troubling little prankster named Pansy came up with this idea. He made a balloon out of a mixture of koala sheepskin and then coated the inside with resin before inflating it right here in our doorway. If it weren't for the fact that I can fly through a series of tunnels and such from the outside, I'd never be able to get into the rooms behind the blasted balloon again. So your task is to figure out a way to get to the next room with this inflated sheepskin blocking the doorway."
Can we just, like, pop it?
Yeah, can we pop it?
Then why don't you give it a shot and see what happens?
I was going to say, you guys think they didn't think of that?
I don't know. They're usually all wise and mighty. Sometimes you think too hard and the answer is too
sometimes
obvious.
The answer force. You know what? So
sometimes the answer is not inner peace. Yes.
I fashioned a javelin out of rock,
okay,
of stone, and I huck it at said balloon.
Okay. So between the density of the air inside the balloon and the rubbery material that the balloon is like made out of, the blade can't puncture through. It just kind of bounces off.
Boy. Maybe I didn't throw a big enough javelin.
Boy, and I bet you feel real dumb now, don't
you? No, I just haven't tried hard.
Take cover, I make a little rock wall.
I was going to say, like, it bounces off and comes, like, flying back at you guys.
If he's about to do this again.
No, I fashion a bigger javelin.
Yeah, I take cover.
Yeah.
And I huck that one.
And it sort of hits it, and it kind of crumbles as it starts to hit it, as the pressure between you hitting or throwing it at the balloon in the first place and the resistance and durability of this balloon just causes the rock to kind of crumble around, shooting it back in a couple of smaller chunks throughout the room.
So there's like some kind of an opening that was able to blow up the balloon.
Yes.
Can I inspect that?
Yeah. You don't see it on this side, but you bring it up to Guru Tapik and he says,
"Ah, great investigative work, Mika. Unfortunately, the opening is on the other side of the doorway."
It was good thinking. It was good thinking.
Can it move?
No, you push against it, and this thing is just solid because the air has basically expanded on both sides of this balloon.
It's in the doorway.
Yeah. So the doorway's like the midpoint, and it's got two.
Stuck in the doorway.
Exactly, yep.
And there's no seams on the balloon.
No.
Like a couch in the apartment staircase.
That's right.
Pivot.
He's got to find, just have to turn it, guys.
Could I just rock elevator down below it and then just tunnel and pop back up like Bugs Bunny?
Well, you don't even have to.
There's an
iron
like
just make
vein.
The space in between.
There's an
iron just make the space
vein.
In between the balloon and the wall and.
Yeah, well, I can Bugs Bunny around it because that's an established thing I can do.
I guess that is.
I shall attempt to Bugs Bunny. What is...
just do rely on your skills and training again.
All right. I really ought
to... Well, just ran into it really hard, Brock.
Yo, that's a better
Don't
idea.
Try that.
Why not?
Because he's trying to make you hurt yourself, and
I would never
do
that.
I thought Bill was supposed to be his moral.
Yeah, and he wants to see him run into this thing up to see what would happen.
That's a classic comedy bit of like just
make that like plan.
Yeah, that's what he's supposed to be.
If I can't Bugs Bunny, I'll for sure just run straight at it.
Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, exactly. This is all
calls for an Acme box.
Seven.
You don't get to add anything.
Perfectly.
No,
okay. Yeah, where's the box of Acme Dynamite?
Oh, I got it.
I get the teeny little umbrella.
Okay, so you drop under the ground and quickly slam your hands into the side of this opening that you just made because it drops out at the bottom by itself and it's just lava underneath.
Oh.
And you realize the reason why this whole room is kind of like a humid, wet sauna is there must be a water flow somewhere here. And then the heat from the
water
lava is heating that water in the air and just turning it into a mist.
Oh.
You could continue to do your tunneling, but it's going to be such a delicate matter to not create an opening that would just fall into, and not to mention your friends aren't earthbenders. And so you worry that if they tried to go through this very same tunnel, you might be able to get through, Guo might be able to get through because you guys can grasp onto the walls of the rock, but your other two friends, if they slip, they're gonna be in trouble.
Well, delicate's my middle name.
Bill's standing at the top of the hole and he's going, Brock. What is the first rule? Never dig straight down.
I did tell you to go in between the wall and the balloon, but you know.
I mean, yeah, go
get back up here and just go around it. And I lower my bow staff so he can grab it.
Fine. Can I just go around it? Like go through the wall?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, the wall's not going anywhere.
All right, fine. I try and
You could just do like a SpongeBob
thing. Presses through.
I try to go through the wall around it. 10.
10. Okay, yes. You're able to create an opening and basically create a sort of secondary tunnel that goes around the balloon.
See, Delicacy is my middle name, as you can see.
Mm, yeah.
And right. I definitely think everything through.
Mm, yeah.
So now you can say you're welcome whenever
you're... Now you're going to run into the balloon.
Yes. Oh, just for fun. I want to see if I would have broken the balloon.
But we don't need your plan B because your plan A worked.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, Bill's making a really good
point. Man.
Like, what if I could have just ran straight through
it? I am making Earthbender's
really... The javelin couldn't do it. You can't do it.
No, no, but he's like, not trying to pop it.
Quit
trying to hurt your
only friend.
Only?
Whoa.
I mean, like...
Dang, whoa, you just got thrown under the bus.
I'm not going to lie. It's kind of boring.
Man,
I don't know
Earthbenders really take away from my ability to make interesting puzzles for you guys to solve.
Was this one supposed to be my puzzle to solve?
Actually, yeah. Oh, it was.
Well, there was a stick bender puzzle you...
Quit making us go into stone rooms.
Maybe.
I mean, like, the jail was
why do
more
you
a puzzle
even,
because...
Why plan something?
I know. It's
why
fine.
Not make it a metal room or a wooden room? Because, like, worse than stone walls.
Anyway, we're going through this tunnel, okay?
What's the third one?
All right, so you guys go around the balloon, and Guru Topeak actually kind of looks a little bit bummed. He's like...
Well, yeah. I suppose that works. Honestly, I was kind of hoping you would have been able to figure out a way to deflate it.
Well, we made you a new tunnel. Now you can just go around it.
Now you can go around it.
Now you can keep that
you can
as a
say
souvenir
a,
forever.
A secret tunnel.
Well, maybe I had plans to inflate it somewhere else. Set it up outside. Jump on it all day long to give myself a fun activity to do.
Well,
I
maybe
mean,
if
you
we got
still
time.
Could.
You wanted to jump.
Maybe, yeah, like Brock said, we'll help you later.
If we got time.
Puzzle number three.
You guys are really emphasizing the fact that you didn't have time, but that's just...
If we got time, you know.
You guys, I'll describe it. So you guys step out of
Tell
your...
Tell me your biggest fear. And he pulls out the third page of the clipboard.
I was going to say, and he's just ready to write. No.
It takes a seat.
So you guys go around with your fancy new little secondary tunnel that you've just created. And you follow like a short tunnel and step out of the doorway into a massive cavern with a humongous drop off of a divide that spans hundreds of feet in every direction. Oh, at least left, right, and forward. Anyways, as if someone took a massive sword and just slices deep into the center of the mountain. There's an old wooden bridge that seems to have been split in half and now hangs limp and useless on either side of the great divide.
It's a rope bridge?
Couldn't you just like push us with your airbending all the way across? Just like go...
But I guess that's not the point of the puzzle.
But like, we're still like solving.
There are actually some air gliders, but they're in the final room. So unfortunately, not much help right now.
So it's just darkness, giant.
I would guess that there's probably a river of lava at the bottom that kind of blows it.
Stop looking at me. Sorry.
What? It's not me. It's not me, everybody. She was talking to the cat.
Why don't we push the balloon back in here and then we jumped across?
Perfect.
I mean, like, Gwo
okay,
and I
I'll
could
go
just...
back.
Oh, yes. I think that's a great idea. Let's bring that balloon out here.
Gwo and I could just bend a bridge, you know?
Okay, I'm going to run back in the other room.
Okay.
Oh, that's pretty far.
I mean.
Can I? There's like you said, misty stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I get the water particles and just like push the balloon? Like make a cocoon and just push it, hot dog it.
Hot dog. Spleen hot dogging it. I'm.
Yeah. Well,
you know, like we're gonna like use the water as like the bun and just create.
What do you do to your?
Are
hot
you talking
dog?
Like
compress the balloon?
Are you talking like
compress your hot dogs?
Are you talking like
the first
the
rule of
so
eating
like
a hot dog
oval
is you have to have a
like
tight
a
grip,
a round circle.
Okay, so
don't
you're gonna use
that
the
dog.
Water to sort of pressure it into
go
a different shape.
Off, might get
yeah,
lost.
So like it gets thinner and I can just push
firmly
it
grasp the hot dog.
Okay. Yeah.
Get what I'm trying to say?
Don't squeeze too hard, so it'll just like pop out the top.
Yeah, do push your luck. I think this is more of a push your luck since I mean I don't think you usually hot dog thing. You didn't get
you
to that.
Don't know
you
her.
Didn't get to that point when you were at the prison.
Hot dog training.
I was trying to figure out if you're talking like you're gonna like do the classic help, I'm stuck, get the butter, you know, and use the water to like just kind of lube up the balloon.
Well,
butter,
that's what I'm saying. Dog. Like, yeah. see, like the balloons. The balloons in the hole like this. Yeah, and I want the water to go like this. Come on. Pinch it. Either side of it.
Okay.
And so it. Like it's creating space.
Why are you using
around
visual?
Yeah, I think I see what you're saying. I think
because he's not understanding.
No, I am understanding. I am understanding. I get it.
Yeah, the hot dog made perfect sense. Oh, you really didn't need to, you didn't really need to go further.
This is a stupid game.
We don't need. We don't need the balloon.
So okay.
But how are we else going to get across the line?
That was a joke idea.
You guys figure it out. I'm figuring out a different way.
You really fat dogged that roll.
The water just comes back and drenches me.
How far of a jump is this?
Waterboarded. I think I said hundreds of feet.
Yeah,
in,
he did.
Oh, sorry. It's a divide. So it's hundreds of feet to the right or left, but directly forward, let's say 50.
Oh. You could bend a bridge. Let's just keep frustrating this old
Do you come
guru.
Back? Michaela?
No,
Mika?
I'm
no.
gonna keep trying.
Oh, okay.
Could
okay.
you fly me across?
I don't have
powers.
I'm bending a bridge.
I just have this, and he holds up his bow staff.
I rolled a 9.
A 9?
To bend a bridge.
To bend a bridge. Okay. So you start bending a bridge, but your availability, like once the further you get, the thinner the bridge becomes.
Could I just kind of shimmy my way across? About how far do I make
You get it? About halfway. And then I mean, it's a thin, like less than an inch thick bridge at that point.
That is rather
precarious. Your bending capability to sort of mold earth across the way kind of starts to dissipate as you get further in.
I feel like this guru really wants us to solve the puzzle.
Does this balloon, does the water have
Jumping
any,
back to the balloon.
Any effect to it when I like blasted the water at it or maneuvered the water around it?
What's that?
Assess?
Yes. Do assess a situation. See if you notice anything.
Oh my god.
Is it at least?
You got a 5?
Not quite.
Can I
enough.
Fatigue? That's still
Yeah, yeah, you
me.
Can fatigue to, yeah, take a success. I forgot about that. So you can fatigue to turn it into a success. You can ask one of the questions available.
What about what's my best way out and through?
Okay. Okay, so when you tried to use the air, something that you noticed, and it was ever so subtle, is when you started to control the air in the room.
The water?
Or sorry, the water in the room, which was in the air. When you started to control the water that was in the air, you sort of tensed it up and froze some of it when you were trying to like push it into a shape. And you notice that when you put the cold air up to it, you notice just the very slightest deflation.
It's like helium.
Yeah.
Bro. Yeah, because my sister got a balloon and she got it in the car and it was so deflated. And she's like, why was it like this in the store? And we almost went back in and then we waited like 10 more seconds and it went.
Yep. Science.
Science.
You solved my balloon puzzle.
Okay, so I'm just going to make it all frozen, all the water frozen around the balloon.
Well, as, okay. So
we're just going to make it cold, as cold as I can make the room.
Yeah, absolutely. As, I'm not going to make you roll because as somebody that grew up in the Southern Water Tribe, I mean, freezing water was a pretty basic skill, all things considered. So you start to cool the room down and you do have to fight against it a little bit. But eventually you're able to cool the water in the air to a point where you notice a slight deflation in the balloon. You start to press against it, and sure enough, you're able to press it through this doorway, through the next doorway.
And I knock over Brock.
Into the expanse.
He didn't have to run into the balloon. The balloon ran into him.
And Guru Tepi is like,
oh, you did it. You got the balloon out. Oh.
And he goes running into the tunnel, and he's like, you hear him from inside the tunnel, and he's like,
I haven't seen this doorway in centuries.
So now I can run into the balloon.
Yeah, go knock yourself
Sure.
out.
I think this is a fantastically clever idea. I am ecstatic that the balloon is out of the doorway, so I am all for this plan.
Could I die
Yeah, but it depends which way you run into the balloon. Sure. If you want it to bounce you back into the...
I don't know, like how bouncy is this bad boy?
Oh yeah, you hop, you like touch it, it's pretty bouncy, it's springy. So
could I...
Oh, this is such a bad...
Sink thing. It a little bit into the ground, okay. So it's got a little stability.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, it stays in place, okay.
And just as a test, let me like huck a rock at it to see how, if it can make it across. So I want to huck like a...
And you're going to use some bending behind that?
Yeah, some bending behind like a 100-pound rock.
Okay.
Say, like, okay, you know what? Brock's got a brilliant idea.
Uh-oh.
Brock's going to elevator himself. He's going to elevator up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's going to be like the blob at summer camp.
Yep.
So.
Okay, I love this so much.
I'm going to put a rock.
On one end.
On one end. And then I'm going to jump onto the other end. See if I can't launch this bad boy all the way across the other side.
Okay. I'm not going to make you roll. You're literally just jumping off of something. So you jump off, you hit the other side of the balloon. Boing! The stone goes flying. It doesn't make it all the way across, but it makes it pretty dang close.
I feel like that just shows we got to do that. So
one key thing that you notice is it's very possible that just getting the angle right is really the main thing. Because there was a little bit more vertical lift than you needed. And that kind of hindered the horizontal, whatever
the trajectory.
The trajectory, yes.
Well, what happened, Guru? What happened if we stepped into the hole? So if we fell into the hole, would you catch us?
Well... I tell you what, the key element in Okoran's letter was that the four of you work together, come up with creative solutions to help you through the trials at hand. You are free to do whatever you think is best to accomplish the trials, and I will be here to guide you, keep you safe. An idea that doesn't work out is a learning experience. So with all that being said, I'm not going to let you die. To the best of my ability, at least. I think this is a fantastically clever idea. I am ecstatic that the balloon is out of the doorway, so I'm all for this plan. In fact, given the plan you've proposed, I will go across the chasm now. If your jump is a little short, I should be able to...
Oh, well, when he said yes, Bill already started walking off the edge.
Stop.
He's going to pick up like just Mikido straight off the edge.
Yeah,
Mario
like he
Kart.
Sticks up his foot over the edge and he just kind of lets his body.
Guru Tap, he just does like a wind pull where he just pulls the air.
That's no fair. You're cheating.
Why would you? Well, now your concerns can be stifled. I caught you just as I said I would. Please do not do that again.
Well, thank you. I trusted you, Guru.
I've got an idea, Bill.
Stick.
Bill, I got an idea.
You have a brain. Use it.
We jump together.
No.
And we blob Mika over the other side.
You are not throwing me first.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Wow's the smallest.
All right, so do you trust us?
I already passed the trust test.
Okay.
Can you?
How about this? I wait. 140 pounds,
okay.
Brock.
Yep. Uh-huh.
We know ages. We know.
I've
weights.
Seen you work out,
bro. I weigh less than you.
Can you? Can you make a rock
a little tubby
body double that weighs exactly the same as me?
I suppose we could do that. But here's another.
That is
idea.
One of Brock's skills. If I remember correctly, that was one of his special, his interesting facts.
Pound. Perfect poundage. Yes. I could, in
I
fact, make your very doppelganger out of stone. My thought here is, if you come up a little short, you can always just bend out a little platform. So now that Bill can't defend himself or say no because he's in the bathroom, Bill and I... are going to elevator
over
up
over the quarter
and put the 140 Guo sized rock, and Bill and I jump off together in tandem as bros to launch this rock.
All right. So you set all this up.
Yes.
You get to the top of this rock.
Yes.
You're launching a rock currently, right?
Correct. Yes,
okay.
Yes. We are launching
just
a rock.
Test go. All
this
right.
This is a test.
You're about to jump off to test to see if this rock can make it across and therefore shape your ability
to use this method to get you all across this cavern.
I feel like you're setting us up for something.
And with that, we're going to end episode 3. We'll see you guys next time in episode 4 to find out if it works and if they're able to do it, and then what the final 2 trials are. See you guys next time.
Hey everyone, Skylar the Game Master for Benders and Brews and the Creative Director over at Session Zero Heroes here. I just wanted to give you a quick outro before you head over to the next episode or call it a day. Firstly, thank you so much for listening to our show. It means so much to us to have such amazing people like yourself that enjoy the content that we produce. Without you, there really wouldn't be much point in all the work that we put into recording, editing, and sharing our TTRPG sessions with all of you. With that being said, we would love it if you would throw some love our way and drop us a review or a rating or whatever it is called wherever you're listening to the show, based on whatever platform that allows you to leave reviews and leave recommendations. It means a lot to us to get to hear why you love the show we make, and it also helps the show reach other listeners as well, allowing us to grow our community. So, if you're feeling especially generous, you could even go as far as to share our show to your friends and family who also enjoy TTRPG Actual Play podcasts. It's really expensive for us to be able to advertise, and we don't do much of it, so it's a lot more help to have you guys share it with people that you know will enjoy it, and then they can join in the community that we're creating. That would make you a Session Zero hero yourself. And additionally, we'd love to have you stop by on one of our various social platforms and interact with the channel there. You can find Session Zero Heroes on Facebook, X, Instagram, and Discord. We post all sorts of updates, clips, and even the occasional behind-the-scenes look at what we're up to. And if you're ever looking for information on SZH, or you don't use a podcast streaming site but you want to listen to our shows, you could do so by checking out our website at sessionzeroheroes.com. And while you're there, you can find out about the cast and the crew that make our show and provide the players' voices in all of our various series. And if you're feeling especially cheeky, you can check out our merch store, where we have a ton of designs and products to choose from, all of which help us pay the bills and keep the lights on. So once again, thank you all so much for listening, and remember to stay curious, stay heroic, until we roll again.